Wonderful privilege to be able to go and minister in a different context and see what God is doing. And what was so amazing is the word I wanted to bring to them. As you know, I love to use PowerPoint and pictures. I had a picture of a boat and two guys in a boat. And the point was to keep your eye on the drift and make sure you're focused. And it was these two guys in a boat who went fishing, and they had not kept their eye on the drift, and they were headed for the waterfall. And just before I'm about to preach, Lee stands up and she says, she's got a word from God for the church, in that she sees people in a boat. And they need to make sure that when Jesus calls, they can step out the boat and walk on the water. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus, because then I know that Holy Spirit and me, or we're in sync. And I heard a similar story of what happened here last week. The same thing, confirming what I'd written in the bulletin. And Kevin preached a great word called All in the Family. And he left us with three great points, vital for our inheritance together. And today, just so you know, this is the last one in this series. If you're a visitor today, you're coming in at the tail end. But if it piques your interest, you can listen to them online. Next week we'll be starting a new series. The second point Kevin made was all must pull their weight. And number three, children will emulate what they see. And the point is, how are we being examples to our children? Let me just get focused. How, parents, are you emulating for your children? Follow me as I follow Christ, I think was one of the words of the scriptures Kevin used. And we want to learn how to do that well. And we see a great expression of the family together. And I want to just piggyback on that sermon this week. And this could be part two if you like or not. But we see today what I want to preach about is it's all in a day's, no, cog's work. And we look at that picture, which is on our bulletin, and all these interwoven cogs, and as they turn, they help the machine to go together. And we see a great illustration of being interconnected in order to make this body called the church, all cogs working together, interacting and working together, well oiled by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes a little bit grindy on one another. That's what we call family. One of the points that we want to make, one of the ethoses we want to develop in this church is family. And the scripture talks about family from Genesis to Revelation. And we understand this was one of the things that was important to the Father, family. Scripture tells us He puts the lonely into families. You don't have to be lonely. When we look at the book of Ephesians, we have a look in the book of Ephesians, and there's eight descriptions of what we look like. So this is not just a one-off thing, and we'll see. He talks about us being His body. We are the fullness of Jesus who fills all. We have everything. Our heart's desire is to get closer to Him. We are His workmanship, created for good works. We are not saved by works. It's not going to help us in our salvation, but we are created for good works. We are fellow citizens. We all carry the same passport. I know we're an eclectic group with many different nationality backgrounds, but in the kingdom we all carry the king's passport all together. We are His family, members of His household. We are His holy temple, with Jesus being the cornerstone, built and cemented, grouted in together. As you can see the picture of the cogs are gone now, but all working together. It's faintly in the background there. We're a building. Our unity is a dwelling place for God by His Spirit. We are the bride. And I know the guys sometimes freak out about, oh, I don't want to be a bride. I'm a man. No, you're the bride of Christ. Get used to it. Live with it. Be happy. We're the army conducting warfare against the spiritual forces of evil. We understand that all of these descriptions and these metaphors refer to us as a living, functioning organism of saints, working together in unity, serving one another, encouraging, building up, strengthening one another to extend the kingdom of God. That is the purpose and the mission. Even as we did communion today, we see in 1 Corinthians 11, he admonishes them for divisions and factions and just going ahead and eating and helping themselves, and some of them arriving drunk and overeaten before they even get there. And Paul says, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. When you come together, when the all of you are together, wait. Be patient. And let's do this together. Let's function together, remembering. We are the flavor and the radiance of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And I think often, having read the scripture a few times in my life, we get, and we, you know, how many of us just read this one? And then we quote, we're the salt and we're the light. I think we miss the great import of what Jesus is teaching and what he is saying to us here. And I don't have time this morning to go through the whole thing, but if we just took the salt and the light and thought about it a little bit and understood it a little bit, how it, in the old days, what it was used for and the value. And so when he speaks in this parable and he's teaching them that, we're going, oh, salt, you know, we go to this grocery store, we get the salt, we pour it out, and we go, yeah, we've got salt. And we put it on our food, and we go, and we walk into a room, and we flick a switch, and it's good. But in those days, it wasn't quite like that. So when he spoke to them, they went, wow, yeah. Do you know that salt has 5 different flavors? And we just think of it as being salt. Well, if we are the salt, you are the salt of the earth, what flavor are you? Are you salty? Are you sweet? Are you sour? Are you bitter? Are you savory? What flavor do you bring to those around you? Scientifically, those are the 5 flavors. Don't tell me it's just salty. No, it's not scientifically proven. Brings flavor. When we put salt in our meat, the meat doesn't become more meaty, it becomes salty. When we put it on any food, and we love to put salt. I know my mom and dad, when they were around, my dad loved to put salt and pepper on his food. And our family joke was, Dad, why don't you have some food with your salt and pepper? He loved to cover it all with salt and pepper. It brings flavor. Salt, we know, creates a thirst. It should create a thirst for spiritual things. And it preserves, it's a preservative, preserves us from evil when we understand we are the salt. Light, a little bit of intensity here. Light comes in 3 basic dimensions. Do you understand that there is intensity of light, which means its brilliance? There is the frequency, which means the wavelength of the color. And there's the polarization, which means the direction in which the light is flowing. So the question is, how intense, how frequent, and what kind of polarization are you as the light of the world to those around you? It brings direction, it influences and hope, and the major thing life does, it dispels the darkness. When we walk into a room, it dispels the darkness. People, when they come in, when we walk into a room, we want them to be warmed by the warmth of the light. We don't want them to be freaked out. Sometimes they will be, because they will have this spirit's at enmity with us. And we want to make sure we bring in great polarization, great direction, and great intensity and hope. Serving and caring for one another. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all else, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. as good stewards of God's varied grace. It's a number of values that we hold dear, together as a family, looking out for one another. The question I want you to ask yourself regarding this body, I want this to be an encouraging word for you today. Don't walk away going, oh, where do I serve functionally? Are we, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another? Are we doing that? Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, the fullness of the Fatherhead, sat with the Father and said, let us make man in our image, came incarnation to earth, incarnated here to serve us. Wow. Wrap our heads around that thing? And we adore him, and we adore him, and we lay down our crowns that we have at his feet, and we worship him, and we live for him. But he came to serve us, and he served us by dying on a cross for us. The greatest service rendered to man ever, that he would give up his life for us. And we should be the same. And when you read through the scripture, and if you go through the Greek, diakonos, diakoneia, diakonai, it all means to serve, to minister, to care for, to contribute, to the support of, to do the serving, employed in serving, ministering servants, serve, served, serves, service he renders, wait on, etc., etc., etc. And part of what we did this morning as body service for those that were hurting and needed healing, we served them, took time to serve them. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. That was just the introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm just going to read it through and then we'll make some comments. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, vitally important, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Isn't that a cool thought? You have been particularly chosen to be a part in this body, to play a part in this body. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. I'm sorry to say there is no escape route on this one for us. Go and read it in the Message. Go and read it in the NLT. Go and read it in the very loud version, the amplified version. Go and read it in the King James version. Go and read it in the NASB. Read it in the NIV. Read it in the ESV. Read it in the whatever. There is no escape route. We are all connected like that little cog man. Because when one of those cogs stops turning, just you can picture that in your head, when one cog stops turning, what happens? It affects all those around it. I've used the expression, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. We have to understand that when the piece is missing, the piece is not complete. When we are not serving one another in the body, the piece is complete. Incomplete, sorry. So let's just have a look at what 1 Corinthians 12:20 This, it's a three-part summary. There we go. Number one, the body is a unit. Verse 13, we cannot escape that. We are all one unit. Whether you like the person sitting next to you, or you think they're a little weird or not, is not the point. The point is that we are connected. You know that old song? Connected to the thigh bone, connected to the... I don't even know. Kevin can come and sing it for us. He probably knows it. Yeah. Or maybe not. The second thing, the body has many diverse parts. And we should rejoice in that. We should say, ha, I'm not like you, but I have a place. Ha, I'm not like you, I have a place. We're doing this in love, of course. Not in derision and not with joy. And not because, well, Mark, we think you're a little bit weird. Wonderful. Then I'll be the weirdo. And some of you can join me, because I know you. But we are diverse, and that's good and healthy and wonderful. Because some of you outstrip me in my gifting in certain areas, absolutely. I've told you many times, Bridget, and Louise is not here this morning, she's in Sunday school. She outstrips me in some of the giftings that she has. Where is she? Oh, she's not in the usual place. You see, you're back with your wife. You guys mess me around. You're married now. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Louise outstrips Bridget and I put together in certain giftings that she has. And the way she sees things and the way she does things. We have diverse parts. The third thing, and we look at this piece of scripture, the body works together as one with dependent mutuality. Let that sink in for a little bit. Yet when we get to all this stuff, well, let's go on. That's the three-part summary of that piece of scripture we just did. Break it down for you a little bit. Number one, we are Christ's body. Verse 12. Does that say that? Yes, it says it. Number two, there's unity across ethnic and social backgrounds. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. All together under one fountain of the Holy Spirit. All together baptism in the Holy Spirit and water baptism is a big deal. And I want to encourage you, if you've never been water baptized, come and talk to us. If I could be so strong, you need to be water baptized. It's your outward expression of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I know in our modern day church now, we sort of come along, get saved, and then we'll think about it. Go and read through the scriptures. You'll see they got saved and then went down to the river at midnight. It wasn't like, oh, we're tired, let's go to bed, we'll do it tomorrow. No, let's go to the jailer and his whole family went down to the river at midnight and they all got baptized that same night. It's a one thing. We've made it two or three separate parts. Well, haven't you done baptism classes? Well, they're good to understand the scriptures, but man, let's get baptized. Let's understand why we're doing this when we do it. That's why at the family camp it was such a pleasure to baptize Cam and Amy. And they just came and said, hey, we want to get baptized. And they went down to the river and I was nervous at the lake. Because, you know, it is only the first week in June. Well, it was. But the water was great. It's a big deal. Here's one we need to get into our heart and spirit. There no elevation of any one gift. All are equally important. I heard one or two there. Anyone else not convinced? It is all equally important. Whether you straighten the chairs every Sunday, as Alan does, and thank you, Ken, this morning for doing it for us, or you actually leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ every day of your life. Equally important. There's no one gift above the other. God has arranged it this way for you to be the part He chose. And I know sometimes, I don't want to be that part. I want to be that part over there. I've told you my story. I didn't want to be this part. I wanted to be a rock star, a worship leader for Jesus. So sorry for you, Mark. I had to learn to deal with that. Can I be honest? I didn't really even want to be a pastor of a church. I wanted to be an apostle, traveling all over the place, ministering. No, this is what you're going to do, Mark. Okay. And then I had to realize, when I tried out for the worship team, we let you do sort of Wednesday nights, Mark, and life groups, but big band stuff, not so much. I was crushed because I wanted something else that God had not chosen me for. We can only do and take hold of what God gives us to do. And we need to mature into that thing and settle that in our hearts. Big one. There is unity in diversity. That's what makes us strong. Can you imagine if you were all cloned like me? All walk like me, all talk like me. I know that would freak you all out. It's the last one. It's the last one. Is it the lost one? No, the last one. The last one. Just having a bit of fun with Cherie this morning. And then, Peter came up with something else, and I said, that wasn't even close to what I said, but that's what came out my mouth. That's what he heard. And so, if you all spoke like me, we'd all have a fun time. So when I first came to Canada, I used to say, so what's your name? I'd say, Mark. And they go, Mork? It's like, do I look like a replica from the Mork and Mindy show? And then some were calling me Mike. I said, no, Mark. And then I used to go, Mark? We get that. Go to a restaurant, still today. Can I have a glass of water, please? What? Water. Yeah, we got that stuff in barrelfuls. Water. Cow. This is an interesting one. Verse 21. Brings to level ground those that might esteem their gift more important. The ground at the cross, I know it was on a hill, but you know the ground at the cross was level, was flat. In our minds and our hearts. There is no pinnacle of hierarchy in the kingdom. There is no, I'm better than, my gift is more important than. The sad thing is though, we look at somebody and want to go, I want to be like that. And then we forgot the part that God chose us to be. So then we try to do that and we get exhausted and we sometimes get embarrassed because we don't do it so well. Meanwhile, if we just did what God chose us to be and be the ear or the hand or the foot or the eye that God has chosen you to be, you will make the body work. Because if you, the eyes, whoever the eyes are, there's only two in the body. If you are not functioning and doing your stuff, then the body is blind, running around. If you're not the hands and you're not working the hands and doing the hand thing, the body is handless. Can't get a handle on anything. Oh, no, come on now. So the question, one more. The purpose of this unity is that we should care for one another and build and serve one another. Well, I go and I do my thing out there. That is wonderful. That is what we're supposed to do. I have this little theory though. If I cannot get my product here, doing well here, how am I going to export it out there? If I cannot serve here and be a service here, and I haven't got that in my heart, how am I going to do it out there? And we think we can. No, I just go out there and I'll serve our community. That sounds like a good idea, but then we say, how long have you been serving? Well, so didn't you think of that idea about a year ago? That's because we haven't learned to do it here. Because this is the body we want to see it function well, so we can all go out and do it well out there. So the question is, which part of the body are you? All of this though, the enemy comes along and says stuff to us. And our minds, and he says, the devil's playground, your little mind here. This is the devil's playground. When he comes along and he says to us that, I want to just give you some perceptions about yourself. And we go, yeah. Instead of saying, get behind me. I submit myself unto God. I resist the devil. Get away from me. Do you know who I am? We got to get a bit of that attitude. Do you know who I am, devil? Do you understand who I am? I'm a king's kid. I'm an heir of the Most High God. My brother is Jesus. I'm a co-heir with him. I'm trying. But he says we come and, you know, his incorrect perceptions are not a new trait. He's been doing this all along. You go through the Bible and you can fit yourself and find out where the perceptions are all wrong. Oh, mighty man of valor. I'm in wine press. I'm the smallest in my clan. We're going to talk about that just now. Comes along and says, I can't do this. I don't have the gift or the skill set. Let's go back a few verses. Each one has been given a gift. The Bible, that's what the Lord says to us. You all have at least one gift. You have an ability in at least one area. And some of you, multiple areas. They don't need me or my gift. There's no place for me. It has all been taken care of. It's a lie from the devil. I mean, just you look at this amazing bunch of people behind us here. And you go, wow, look, okay, they've got a bass guitarist, they've got a drummer, they've got a percussionist. What's a percussionist? They've got a percussionist, they've got a keyboard player, there you go, they're all sorted, there's no place for me there. You don't think that some Sunday these people want to sit where you're sitting and you can sit and lead us into worship? Not entertain us. This is not about entertainment, this is about leading us into worship. Just a point. There's no place for me, it's all been taken care of. Don't take this one amiss. The alternative is you don't care. Or you're too self-preoccupied with yourself to serve. Okay, let's get over that one. We started this one with my buddy Caleb. And we need to get a bit of a Caleb attitude, which says we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I know this is the gift that God has given me. I know this is what I can do. I love Alan's heart. Comes every Sunday, every Wednesday night, and he pulls out this magical stick and he straightens the chair so you can come sit in nice straight rows. And I'm telling you, that is a special gift. Because if you've ever been here on time to see him wield that stick, I mean, Ken took it upon himself this morning and I was like, just as well he's got a BSc. Because if you don't have that kind of stuff, you don't know how to use that stick. I mean, I said to Alan, can we just get something simple? And he came out with this, Alan. And I was like, knock yourself out, dude. I'm too scared to even touch that stick. Well, how much brain power? Now, of course, you know I'm joking. How much brain power, how much heart, how much time does it need to straighten a chair so that your fellow body, your fellow cogs can come sit in straight rows and it can look decent. He's been doing it. Now I'm laboring the point, but I want us to learn something today. He's been doing it for all of about 4 years by himself. I'll just leave it there. We have incorrect perceptions. Some clever guy wrote this down. Our perceptions of ourselves and our abilities, or the lack thereof, determine how we can or can't serve in the body of Christ. We normally won't step forward to serve because we have the idea that what we have to offer is not required. If you read the bulletin, you will see there are many areas and probably a whole bunch that I've left out. I don't want to even say even so, even just. You know, like I hate, you know, the most debilitating word in the English language? Just. So what do? Well, I'm just a housewife. Okay, let's think about that for a while. And if we are honest, there are many people here who could never be a housewife. Now, when I first came to Canada, I had to do a written English exam so I could become a landed immigrant, believe it or not. How long have you been speaking English? Well, 50-odd something years. Okay, well, you need to write the test. And the question they asked me was, if the government were to pay housewives for staying at home, what salary would they earn? And I was like, this is a very politically guarded question. So, of course, I'm quite smart. I said, well, these are all the reasons why I wouldn't agree with it. And at the end, my last prayer was, why? Even if we did agree that you couldn't afford it, government, you could not pay them the salary. They would be worth their salt to stay at home and be housewives. So when I just say, I'm using Alan because he straightens the chairs for us and he does this amazing job, and you can pick whatever continuum you like of if that is the least important, what is the most important, and they or flatline. There are no least and most important jobs. Oh, serving the body of Christ is a developed culture. Some of us have never developed that culture. I want us to learn to develop the culture of serving one another. Today, I know she probably doesn't want me to say, Janine is out there teaching Sunday school. We asked, I don't know how they did it, maybe when we were away, but we wanted others to step up so that the Sunday school teachers could take a break over the summer holiday. She's teaching 4 Sundays this month instead of being able to sit here because no one said, I'll do it. Don't take that as a heavy. It's a point I'm trying to make. I want us to be children of God, serving one another, just doing the Bible stuff. Okay, let's move on. So here are some things to rectify incorrect perspectives about yourselves. Or about ourselves. Number one, God can accomplish much to those who have needs and problems. Well, you know, I've got issues in my life. I've got problems. I've got issues. I don't know if I'm as close to Jesus as I think I should be, and therefore I can't serve in the church. It's a lie from the devil. To help make coffee, you can have problems and issues in your life. To be on Susan's hospitality team, you can have issues. You're allowed to have issues. Makes the conversation better. 1 Samuel 22, don't have time. David, when he left and he ran from Gath and he'd hidden in the cave of Adullam. You've heard me preach about this. All the D people arrived there. All the disenchanted, the distressed, the dispossessed, the discontented, all the dissed people, they gathered around him and he became their leader and they became his mighty army. They had issues, they had problems, but they were willing to serve the king. Are we willing to serve the king? To serve in the house, we don't have to be perfect, but sometimes it'll help us to start to get over our issues, to connect with each other and to serve one another. Smile and be joyful about it. Let's move on. We haven't got much time left. We are called to serve. Avoid excuses. Now, you know, biblically, there are a whole bunch of people who had excuses, yet were mighty men and women of God. Going back to our first point. So here's a list. See where you fit in. Abraham, I'm too old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was an abused child. Moses had a speech impediment and no self-confidence. Gideon was poor and had a low self-esteem. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and plotted to kill Uriah, and he had other serious family issues. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was disobedient and reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least. Peter was hot-tempered and impulsive. Martha was a warrior. Not a warrior, a warrior. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular and a cheat. Thomas, well, I doubt if what you're telling us is true. Paul had poor health and poor eyesight. Timothy was timid. Anyone, did I leave anyone out? Are we all good? We don't have to be perfect to serve the body of Christ. We just have to understand something, that I'm in this cog, and when I'm not turning, then I'm affecting the whole machine around me. Next point. Allow God to stir your heart to serve. Well, you just took care of all the other stuff, Mark. Ezra, in the book of Ezra, King Cyrus, by the prophet Jeremiah, his heart was stirred. A pagan, his heart was stirred to build the house for God in Jerusalem. And then he wrote this decree and said, then when you can go and do this, then it said this, then rose up the heads of the fathers of the house of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. Allow your heart to be stirred. Servanthood is an attitude of the heart, not a display of position, title, or status. Jesus in Luke 22:27 says this, who is greater, the one reclining at the table or the one serving? It is the one who reclining, yet I'm amongst you serving. Unfortunately, churches across the city are full of table recliners. We need some to follow Jesus' example. In serving the church, you serve God. We are called to serve one another. Serving is a selfless act, yet it assists the other cog's members to turn. Do you want to be the one that's stopping everything turning? Or do you want to be so well and greased and like greased lightning? Do you want to be like that one turning, that everyone around you is functioning well and the body is like, and the eyes are sparkling and the hands are moving and the ears are hearing and the body is walking and making advancement? You know, sometimes if we have something little in your body, like a toe with gout in it, or an ankle with floating pieces in it, or something that's wrong with you, or like a cyst. Kevin's not checking that, that's why he's sitting there. He's got a cyst the size of my fist on his leg there. But he's still here serving. And he knows what it does to the rest of his body. He's like in shock at the moment. Because I said last week, I said I'd help him, I'll lance it for him. He was like, no, I didn't grow up in Africa. And then he went to the hospital and they lanced it for him. I'm like, I could have done it for you. He says, yeah, but you wouldn't use freezing. They did. When you have a little ache in your finger. Hey Joshua, how many times have you bumped that hand of yours? He's had carpal tunnel operation, and you know what it's like when you go along and your tiny little piece of body is out of sync, and you bump it, the whole body goes, yeah! Now some of you are awake. It's a selfless act. Matthew 8:19. The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And you know what it's like sometimes in that cog? Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you want to grow, get together and allow people to rub you and sharpen you and shine for you and keep your heart pure and smile sweetly. Oh well, let's go. Each cog or member relates to one another in servanthood. That's the only way in the kingdom. It's not any other way. It says that we should prove ourselves to this when he says to in Philippians 1, greeting Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints, Christ Jesus, who at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. He doesn't make a separation of, well, the saints get one bit of treatment, the pastors get another treatment, and the deacons in the church get another treatment. No, no, no. All of you together, serving God, let's go and do this thing together. It's applicable to any form of leadership. Businessmen and businesswomen, sometimes you need to swap the head of the boardroom for a towel and a washhand basin and serve the body of Christ. I'm nearly done. Follow Jesus' example. And that's what I just said. Jesus took a towel and disrobed himself and a basin and he washed his disciples' feet. And Peter, no, Lord, you're not washing my feet. Peter, if I can't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. Okay, Lord, wash my whole body. A revelation in a second. This is not for me. This is not for the pastors of this church. This is for Jesus. That's why we do this. When you evangelize and you get rejected, you're not getting rejected. They're rejecting the Son of Man. Very important for us to understand this one. It's very quiet in here. Each member or cog is of high value to the church. Jesus used the explanation. He says, even if I sold a sparrow for a penny, sparrow, the least of things, least important. He says, but you are worth many more sparrows. He said to Holy Spirit, Father, Son, sat down one day and said, let us make man in our image. Do we get that? That's how valuable you are. It wasn't Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's create man, but different to us, because if they fail, we don't want to be tainted by that. No, no, let's make them in our image. Let them be the glory of us. In closing, so we understand what the New Testament looks like. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. The church of the all of God's people, owning all of the vision, using all of their gifts, living in all of the values, to fulfill all of God's purposes, to disciple all of the nations. I want to encourage you, if you haven't picked up your towel and your washbowl as yet, go and look at the bulletin. There's a lot of places to do it. If you say, I haven't got vision for my life, speak to one of the pastors and their wives. We'll get a vision for you. We'll help you. It's a great day to change your ideas, your perceptions, and your attitudes. You individually are a vital cog or organ to this body. And I went through that whole list to help us see the youngest to the oldest to the disenchanted, to the disenfranchised, to whatever. We can all be of service in the kingdom. We have a great church. You are a great people. We can do better. Let's stand together. Please. Once again, I just want to commend our church for the great example of servanthood to the community on Celebration Canada Day. Take this message to heart as a word of encouragement to you. If you're feeling a little bit scratchy, ask the Holy Spirit to pour some oil on you so you can turn a little bit better and how you can turn a bit better. So Father, we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus. We praise you, mighty God, that you have created us, each part, each member, to be a part of your church, your body, Lord God. And so, Father, we come and we thank you for every gift that you have placed in this body. Every gift person that has one or multiple gifts, Lord God. We ask, Father, that we could find our place, our fit, where our cog fits into this whole scene. Father, we thank you that your word challenges us, challenges me, Lord God. Where can I serve more? Where can I serve better, Lord? What can I do, Father? Thank you, Lord God, that you've called us together. Pray for your blessing upon us as we go today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.